I want you to take your Bibles as we open God's Word together. Look with me in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. And this morning, I'm asking the question, how much is enough? And even more pointedly asking this question, am I enough? People are asking that all the time. Am I enough? Do I have what it takes? Am I enough? Am I smart enough? Am I successful enough? Am I well-liked enough? Believers ask the question sometimes, am I Christian enough? Am I doing enough? And some people are plagued by that question, am I enough? Grace Valentine serves First Baptist Church of Orlando, Florida, and she wrote a book just a couple of years ago with the title, Am I Enough? Her ministry centers on teenage girls and young adult women. And she says it's one of the questions that young women are asking constantly, am I enough? And coming back so often with the answer that they don't feel like they are enough. And as I read the opening pages of her book, the questions that she said so many young women are struggling with, I think all kinds of people are struggling with. Just listen to what she wrote. Grace Valentine wrote this, we're often pushed to do everything other people want us to do. We meet the demands of others in hopes of impressing them and feeling wanted. We use big words to sound smarter for the job we believe is the answer to our prayers. We doubt our worth. We constantly play the comparison game. And for what? To find out that someone else is more enough than we are. So many people are asking the question, am I enough? A couple of years ago, there was a survey of millennials, people who are between the ages of 25 and 40. And in that survey, here's what they discovered. 2,000 millennials responded, and here's what they said. 80% of them said, I am not good enough in virtually all areas of their lives. 8 out of 10 of them said, I just don't feel like I'm good enough. Then 75% of millennials said, I'm overwhelmed by pressure to succeed. And it includes pressure to succeed in career or in relationships or in their personal lives or in what they put up on social media. And then 80% again said that my sleep and mental health are suffering because of the pressure I feel and because I don't feel like I'm enough. And again, that's millennials, but I think those feelings go across every age group, every stage of life that people experience. We all suffer and struggle with those questions. Am I enough? Am I doing enough? Am I successful enough? Am I accomplishing enough? Am I good enough? Now, today I've got bad news for you, and then I've got worse news, and then I've got good news for you, and then I got the best news. Here's the bad news. If you're asking the question, am I enough? Here's the answer to that question. No, you're not enough. That's the bad news. None of us are enough. And the Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's the bad news. You're not enough. Here's the worst news. You can't do anything on your own, and I can't do anything on my own to make ourselves enough. As hard as we might struggle, as well as we might try, we can never make ourselves enough. So the bad news is you and I are not enough. The worst news is we can't ever make ourselves enough. Here's the good news. Jesus is enough. He is enough. And God sent him to die on the cross and raise from the dead to bring his enoughness to our not enough. The good news is that Jesus is enough. And the best news is this. Jesus is enough for you. He'll reach you where you are. He'll reach you in the midst of your circumstance, and he will be more than enough for you. That's what we discover as we look at our text for today. Look with me in Luke chapter 9. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. I invite you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Let's read together. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 1 of the text. The Bible says, and Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that place or leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed because it had been said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?" And he sought to see him. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." And there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. This is the word of God. Will you join with me as we pray? Lord God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this good day that you've made. Now, God, I ask that you would move me out of the way, and, Lord, that you would speak. Lord, for those in this room who just feel that lack, that inadequacy, that sense of unsatisfaction in their own hearts because they'd never trusted Jesus as Savior, Lord, show them today that you are enough to save them and to give them your gift of eternal life. And then, Lord Jesus, I pray for believers. Lord, show us today that you are enough for us and your grace is enough. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' holy name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. I want us to look at this text of Scripture. And as we do, I want to talk to you about 3 reasons that Jesus is enough. 3 reasons that Jesus is enough. 3 reasons that Jesus is enough for you. First of all, the Word of God shows us that Jesus' purpose is enough to sustain us. His purpose is enough to sustain us. Now, I want you to look in verse 1 of our text, and the Bible says there that Jesus called the 12 together. He called together the 12 disciples, and he called them for the purpose of sending them out on mission with a purpose from him. Up to that time, the disciples had been following Jesus around, helping Jesus, listening to Jesus, watching Jesus, and they had seen Jesus do great things. They had seen him heal the sick. They had watched him calm the sea. They had seen him raise dead people back to life. They had watched as he had cast demons out of demon-possessed people. And so they had seen and observed incredible things, but now Jesus was sending them out on their own, not to observe, but to participate in what he was doing. Everything that he had been doing, he was calling them to do, to go out and proclaim the kingdom and to heal those who had diseases. You see the command he gave them, or how he sent them in verse 2. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to proclaim that God had sent his son Jesus to rule and to reign as sovereign king over the heart and life of everyone who followed him, to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal, to touch those who had infirmities and to heal them. And notice in verse 1, Jesus gave them power and authority as they went. Power is the ability to accomplish something. Authority is the right to accomplish something. So Jesus sent them out with a purpose. He said, "I want you to go to proclaim the kingdom and to heal." He says, "I'm giving you my power. I'm giving you my authority. And so I want you to go." And as they were preparing to go, Jesus began to talk to them about what not to be concerned about as they went. He said to them, "I don't want you to be concerned about your luggage." You notice that in verse 3. He says, "Take nothing for your journey. What should we pack, Jesus? Nothing. I don't want you to take anything as you go. Don't be concerned about your luggage. Don't take your staff or your bag or your bread or any money. And if you have on the shirt that you have on, just wear that shirt. Don't take two shirts. Don't take two tunics. He says, I don't want you to take anything. Now, he wanted them not to allow what they had or didn't have to keep them from their purpose. You know, when I'm getting ready to go out on a trip, and when I'm going out, especially by myself, to preach or to teach or to train pastors, when I'm going out, as I'm packing, Michelle usually stands next to me as I'm packing, and she helps me to remember what I need to take with me. And she's really good at it. And the reason she does it is she knows I'm usually distracted. I'm usually thinking about what I got to do when I get there, what I need to do before I leave, and what my assignment is. And so she helps me, and she'll say, okay, do you have your belt? Yes, I got my belt. Do you have two pairs of shoes? I got two pairs of shoes. Do you have your t-shirts? I've got my t-shirts. Did you bring an extra pair of pants? Brought an extra pair of pants. Did you bring another shirt to wear? Yeah. And she just goes through the list with me, and I'm thankful she does that. But here's what I've noticed. If I don't have any of those things, first of all, I always forget something. Always. When I get there, I always have forgotten something. The question is not, am I going to forget something? The question is, what am I going to forget? And here's what I've learned. Forgetting something, failing to take something with me, does not keep me from my purpose. So if I get there and I don't have my belt, my pants still stay up. And if I get there and I only have one pair of socks, I just wear the same pair of socks for about 3 days till I come back. But it doesn't keep me from my purpose. So here's what Jesus was doing. He was going ahead and telling them, hey, listen, I'm going to unpack your suitcase from every excuse you might have for why you can't go. And in fact, I'm not only going to unpack the suitcase, I'm going to throw away the suitcase as well. Don't worry about your bag. Don't worry about your staff. Don't worry about your bread. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about your shirts. Because some of the disciples might have failed to go on mission and come back to Jesus and said, well, I would have gone, but Jesus, I just didn't have my walking stick. I would have gone, but I forgot. I don't have my walking stick. Couldn't go. No. He emptied out all those excuses. He said, don't be worried about your luggage. And then he says, don't worry about your lodging. He says, when you get to where you go, find a house where there will receive you and stay there as you proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And then he also said, don't worry about whether people like you. He said, if you get there and they don't receive you, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them and go on. He was telling them, don't let anything distract you from your mission. Because listen, his purpose for you is enough to sustain you. When you were born and when you were saved, Jesus Christ gave you a purpose and a mission. He has a purpose for you every day of your life. And you will find your greatest satisfaction in your heart when you are pursuing his purpose for your life. And so his purpose is enough to sustain you. Don't get distracted. It's so easy to get distracted. It was several years ago, and it was a Saturday morning, and Michelle was going to fix something for lunch that required hamburger meat. I don't know whether she was making spaghetti with meat sauce or tacos. I don't know what she was making, but she had all the ingredients. She had everything, but she needed to pack a hamburger. And so she said, Stephen, will you go to the grocery store and pick up a pack of hamburger meat? And it's about 10 minutes from our house to the grocery store. And so I went. And I came back with no hamburger. Now, I want to make sure you get the full impact of this. She didn't send me to the grocery store with a list of four things, and I came back with three things and missed one. She gave me a list of one thing, and I came back with no things. I didn't go to four different stores and just forget to go to the grocery store. I only went to one store. So here's what I did. I went to the grocery store. I got the hamburger meat. I went to the checkout line. I bought the hamburger meat. I put the receipt in a bag, put the bag in my car, drove home, got into the back door, came into the back door with a bag with a receipt in it for hamburger meat and no hamburger meat. You say, Pastor, I can't believe that you are that slow on the uptake. I wouldn't have believed it either, but that's what I did. What happened? I don't know what happened. I don't know why I missed out on my mission. I had one thing to do and didn't get it. I don't know why, but I know this. I let something distract me. So many times we miss the mission that God has for us. We miss the purpose that Jesus has for us because we allow something else to distract us. We start chasing after everything else and get our minds on everything else. And so Jesus just emptied out all those distractions and said, don't worry about any of these things. Simply focus on what I'm sending you to do. Look at what happened in verse 6. The Bible says, they departed and went. Get this. He sent, they went. He sent and they went. He sent them to preach the gospel and to heal. They went through the villages preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And the word of God tells us in other places that they came back with joy. Why? Because his purpose, living out his purpose for you day by day, is enough to sustain you. A second reason that the Bible shows us that Jesus is enough. Number two, the Bible says his presence is enough to strengthen you. His presence is enough to strengthen you. Now look in verse 7 of our text. The Bible says Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening. Herod was the ruler in that area of Galilee. He was the king. And he heard all that was happening. He heard about Jesus, and then he was hearing about the disciples as they were going out and preaching the gospel and healing. He heard this, and as he heard this, the Bible says that he was perplexed. He was puzzled. He didn't understand what was happening, and here's why. The Bible says he was getting all kinds of reports. Some were saying that John the Baptist, who he had executed, had been raised from the dead. Others were saying that Elijah had come back to Israel and was preaching. Others were saying that one of the Old Testament prophets had been resurrected, and that's what was going on. And he didn't understand, and he talked about it. He said, I know what happened to John. I took care of John. I beheaded him. But who is this? He says, who is this? Verse 9. Who is this about whom I hear such things? He was asking who it was, and the Bible says he wanted to see Jesus. Herod wanted to see Jesus, but here's what I see in this text. Herod wanted to see Jesus. Jesus wasn't interested in seeing Herod. He wasn't interested in taking time out from his mission and the mission of his disciples and meeting with Herod. In fact, at this very moment, Jesus wanted to be with his disciples and away from everybody else because there were all kinds of people pressing in on Jesus, not just enemies and foes such as Herod. There were friends and followers who were trying to just crowd out everything else in Jesus' life. And so the Bible says, if you look in verse 10, the Bible says, on their return, the apostles told Jesus all they had done. Oh, Jesus, we're preaching and people are following you and we're healing and people are getting delivered and we're casting out demons and people are getting free. All of these things are happening. And they may have been clamoring to go out and keep on doing what they had been doing. Instead, Jesus said this. It says he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. Jesus said, wonderful that all these things are happening. But he says, I want you to come away with me, and I want to take you to an isolated place where I can just be with you. I remind you of my point. Jesus' presence is enough to strengthen you. There are times in our lives when we just get so busy doing good things, doing godly things, doing ministry things. But there are times when those things can keep us from the best thing, and that is simply spending time in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. His presence is what strengthens us. Look again in verse 10. I want you to notice two words. He says he took them. It says he took them. Encircle the word took in your Bible. And the Bible says, and he withdrew, or they withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. Circle that word withdrew. He took them and they withdrew. The word took there means to take someone to yourself in a close relationship with that person. It means to take someone into a position of intimacy in your presence. We see that idea of taking someone that way reflected in the marriage vows. When a young man and a young woman face one another and the minister begins to have them repeat after him and he says, all right, now I want you to say, I take you to be my wife, and I take you to be my husband. What does that mean when you say, I take you? in the marriage ceremony. Does that mean I'm taking you after the service is over? I'm going to get you in my car. I'm going to take you on the honeymoon. Is that what it means to say I take you? Or when we say I take you, does that mean from now on every Friday night I'll be taking you out to eat, and every Saturday morning I'll be taking you out to breakfast? Is that what it means to say I take you? No, it means something deeper than that. To say I take you to be my wife, or I take you to be my husband, means to take someone into an intimate relationship. And you can see that in the words that come after. I take you to be my wedded wife. I take you to be my wedded husband. To have and to hold from this day forward. To love and to cherish in sickness and in health. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Till death do us part. To take someone in that way means to spend a lifetime in that person's presence in a close relationship. Jesus said he took his disciples. Now I want to remind you, the Word of God says that if you've been saved, that you are part of the bride of Christ and Jesus is the bridegroom. When you got saved, Jesus took you to be his. He said, in effect, I take you to be mine, to have and to hold from this day forward, to love and to cherish, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for all eternity. When you got saved, he took you. And when you got saved, you took him. Praise God for that today. You have an intimate relationship with him. He has taken you to himself. Then look at the other word. It says he took them, and verse 10 says they withdrew. The word withdraw means to pull away from everyone else and to go to a place all by yourself. He took them. And if you can read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 31, it says he took them to a solitary place so that they could rest, because there were people that were just pulling them in every direction. Now, I want you to stop and listen just for a moment. There will be times in your life as a believer, as you're serving the Lord, when all of the things that you do to serve the Lord can pull you away from spending time in the presence of the Lord. Man, I love to serve the Lord. I love to preach. I love to teach. I love to minister to people. I love to be around God's people. It blesses my heart. But the most important thing that strengthens me is the time I spend day by day in the presence of the Lord. Opening up his word and letting him speak to me. Coming before him in prayer and speaking to him. That time in his presence is the secret to spiritual strength. And if you don't have that in your life, your strength will just seep away eventually. You may not even be aware of it, but eventually it will show. There was a great musician who played all over the world in concerts. And someone asked her, you played every night, you're somewhere every night performing, and you play so beautifully. They asked her, do you still practice every day? She said, oh yes, I practice every day. They said, well, you're so accomplished on your instrument. Why would you even need to practice? She said, here's what I've learned. If I go for a month without practicing, the audiences can tell. She said, if I go for a week without practicing, the other musicians I play with can tell. She said, if I go a day without practicing, though, I can tell. Can I tell you something? If you go for a month without really spending time in the presence of the Lord, everybody will be able to tell. Your countenance won't be the same. Your words won't be the same. Your attitude won't be the same. Everybody will be able to tell if you go a month without spending time with the Lord. If you go a week without spending time with the Lord, your spouse will be able to tell. Your kids will be able to tell. The people who are closest to you will be able to tell. But listen, you go one day without spending time with the Lord, and even if you can't tell, he can tell. He calls us to spend time in his presence, because his presence is enough to strengthen us. That's the secret. The secret to spiritual strength is day by day walking in the presence of the Lord. Third way, or a third reason that Jesus Christ is enough. Number three, the Bible shows us Jesus' provision is enough to satisfy you. His provision is enough to satisfy you. Look in verse 12 of the text. The Bible says, now the day began to wear away. Jesus and his disciples went into the region around Bethsaida. And as they were there, even while they were there, trying to rest and for the disciples just to spend some time in the presence of Jesus, the crowds began to discover where Jesus was and they began to come out to him. And the Bible says he welcomed them. I love that. Even though they were pressing in on him, he welcomed them and he began to speak to them concerning the kingdom of God, and he cured those who were in need of healing. But then verse 12 says that it was a long day with a long sermon and people were tired and hungry. Have you ever been there? Long day, long sermon, everybody's tired and hungry. Long day, long sermon, everybody's tired and hungry, and they're far away from where they can get anything. And so the disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, here's what we need to do. You need to send the crowds away and let them go to some of the villages around here so that they can get something to eat. And then Jesus said something, not just something surprising, something ludicrous. Jesus said something ludicrous. They're all by themselves. They've already told Jesus what the answer to the problem was. Send the crowds away, let them get something to eat because we're all out here by ourselves. And Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. And in the original language, the word you is emphasized. You 12, you that just came to me with the solution for what you think needs to happen. You give them something to eat. That wasn't just surprising. That was a ludicrous statement. How were they going to give them something to eat? You give them something to eat. If you look in John's Gospel chapter 6, you'll see what the disciples said when Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Philip said, Jesus, if we had 200 days wages, if we had 200 days pay from a hardworking man's wages, if we had 200 days wages and were able somehow to go out and get something to eat, then we'd probably have enough just to give everybody here a taste. That's all we could do. We don't have enough money to feed these people, even if we had 200 days wages. And then Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, came and said, Jesus, look, I've looked around, we've asked around. The only person who seems to have brought any food at all is this boy, and he's got 5 and 2. He's got 5 loaves of bread. He's got 2 fish. And don't miss this. It was not 5 loaves of French bread. It wasn't 5 big old loaves of bread. It was 5 little cakes, 5 little barley cakes. And it wasn't 2 swordfish, and it wasn't 2 5-pound bass. It was just 2 little sardines. 5 and 2. Jesus, that's what we got. And you're telling us, you give them something to eat. And then Jesus showed them. Listen, I hadn't told anybody else this morning. I'm telling you, the only group I've told this. When you hear somebody say, Jesus will never ask you to do something that you can't do, that is a lie. Jesus will always ask you to do something that you can't do. But he'll never ask you to do something he can't do. Did you hear me say that? He will ask you to do what you can't do. But he'll never ask you to do something he can't do because he can do anything. And so 5 loaves, 2 fish, Jesus said, divide everybody up into groups of 50 and have them sit down. And then he took, look at what the Bible says in verse 16. The Bible says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Think about that. Jesus is breaking the loaves. The disciples are coming and they're going out to the crowd and they're giving them the loaves and they're giving them the fish. And then they come back and Jesus gives them more and they take out the loaves and they take out the fish. One preacher said it this way, his hands were always full when their hands came back empty. His hands were always full. They came back with empty hands. His hands were always full. He just kept giving them more and more and more. Look in verse 17. The Bible says, and they all ate. 5,000 men. Who knows how many women and children? 5,000 men. How many of them ate according to the word of God? All. They all ate. And not only did they all ate and were satisfied. That word satisfied in the original language is a word that it comes from a root word for grass or hay. It's a word that they used to talk about cattle that ate so much grass or hay that they were absolutely full and stuffed. And so they ate And they ate and they ate. Have you ever been to one of these little restaurants where they bring you the food and carve the food at the table and you got a little wheel? I ate at a restaurant in Brazil one time. You had a little wheel on the table and there was a green side to the wheel and a red side to the wheel. And when the green side was up, it meant keep bringing me more to eat. And when you rolled it over to the red side, it meant don't bring me any more to eat. Everybody, all 5,000 men plus how many ever women and children, they all had the red side up. They said, don't bring us any more. We can't eat anymore. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful. We don't need any more fish. We don't need any more bread. They all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces. I remind you of my point. His provision is enough to satisfy you. When you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I just want what you want for me, and I'll take what I have and put it in your hands. When you come to him that way, his provision is enough, and not just enough, it's more than enough to satisfy you. Take your Bibles and look with me in John chapter 6, verse 35. There John tells the same story that we read in Luke, but he includes a word that Jesus said after the 5,000 had been fed. John chapter 6, verse 35. The Bible says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus had a spiritual purpose in what he was doing that day as he fed the 5,000. Not just to feed them until their bellies were full and they were satisfied and they said, no more, we can't take any more. No, he came to show them who he was. He says, I am the bread of life. I'm the one who feeds you. Have you ever thought about this? You can't eat anything unless something dies. You can't eat wheat. You can't eat bread unless wheat dies. You can't eat a tomato until that tomato has died. You can't eat anything until it's died. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he was saying, I am coming to die so that the deepest part of your soul can be filled and satisfied. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever drinks or whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Just take a moment and turn that verse, sort of turn that coin around and think about it this way. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. The other side of that, whoever does not come to Jesus will always hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The other side is whoever does not believe in Jesus shall always thirst. There will always be a dissatisfaction, an empty place deep in the heart of who you are until you come to Jesus. God has put eternity in your heart, and only the eternal can fill that eternal emptiness in your heart. Astronomers describe black holes in the universe. They can't see them because the black hole sucks into it everything that comes into contact with it, even light. A black hole occurs when a star dies and begins to turn in on itself, and the gravity just turns in so that everything forever is sucked into that black hole. Light cannot escape from it. Matter gets destroyed and sucked in by it. There is a black hole inside of everyone's heart that's caused by sin. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. There's death that causes a black hole in your heart, and nothing on this earth will fill that hole. Nothing will satisfy. Money won't satisfy. Pleasure, sex won't satisfy. Education and achievement won't satisfy. The praise of other people won't satisfy. A close relationship with another person won't satisfy. Nothing will fill that hole other than Jesus. But when you come to him, he'll satisfy the deepest part of who you are. He fed the 5,000 with just a few fish and loaves, and he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. His provision is enough to satisfy you. The bad news, you and I are not enough. Worse news, we can never make ourselves enough. The good news is Jesus is enough. And the best news is He's enough for you. He's enough for you. He'll meet you right where you are right now. And He is enough for you. Will you bow your heads as we pray together? Lord Jesus, how we love you and praise you. Lord, I thank you that you are enough. Lord Jesus, thank you that your grace is more than enough. I think about all of those baskets, 12 baskets of bread left over. And it just reminds me that your work on the cross and your resurrection from the grave is more than enough. You're the bread of life, and there's more than enough in you to forgive me of all of my sins and to wash away all of my iniquity and to make me right with God forever. Thank you, Jesus, that you are more than enough. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're more than enough for the people in this room today. I pray, Lord, for believers here. And Lord, just as the disciples needed to spend that time in your presence, Lord, put it on our hearts day by day to spend time hearing you speak to us from your word, to spend time speaking to you in prayer. Lord, may we spend time in your presence because that's enough to give us strength. And then Lord, may we pursue your purpose for our lives. Lord, you've sent us out wherever we are to show other people your love and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to witness to others. Help us to share the love of Christ and the message of the gospel with those around us. And then, Lord God, I thank you that you provide enough. Thank you, Lord, that you provide enough to strengthen us day by day. And Lord, for those in this room who've never been saved, show them right now that you are enough, that you can meet them right where they are and give them your gift of eternal life. We give this time of invitation to you and pray that you would use it in Jesus' name. Amen.